We're on page Nun Tes. Nun Tes, Nachshos Avreichem. B'dvashar in Yenecho b'disech ha'pnimiyim. B'frotus l'nesich atimcha. Regarding other inner midas, specific midas, we're not going to talk about right now. Ki ka'omer d'vareinu b'zeh heimrak eich lasas ha'scholah. Because right now, in this parak, we're talking about making a beginning. Just some basic things that will prepare you that if you want to, you'll be able to work on yourself to become a real Ovid Hashem. I'm only speaking about the Reishis, the beginning. Reishis Hakol Batoli, but everything depends on this. Reishis Hisrakshus, the beginning of Hisrakshus. To have this, to be able to develop a Hisrakshus, a feeling, for Havan, for Yir, which the Rebbe enters into really in earnest in the next parak. L'chol cherdas kaidish, l'chein rakes tshuva seinu al tiramarzcha hamur nesayim b'zeh. Therefore, I just want to respond to the typical complaint or the typical svar that you might have, thinking that all of this is unnecessary, that you're just very nice. You're very nice boys and young men that are Ovdei Hashem, and why do you need any of this? So he says, Gam b'sarim oyscha sh'atim b'sroim lama l'sabir b'sroichcha b'zev v'atachol machshav yisecha toiv v'sein. And why am I b'chla talking about the whole subject of machshavas, of thoughts? When all of your machshavas, you have good thoughts. Af b'shut b'teira atachoshev. Even when you're walking in the street, you're thinking about Torah. Next page, of the p'pulei araisa atim b'samikinal, and you have many thoughts about deeper subjects of Torah. So he says, even regarding this, in Chatoya, there's a mistake that you're making. Ki hein yeshnam gedoli Yisrael. There are gedoli Yisrael and be'emes tzadikim heim, kol machshav seim tamei b'Torah. There are great gedoli Yisrael, whose every machshav, whose every thought is in Torah. Avarak gedoli Yisrael b'tzadikim, but there's only the greatest people, the tzaddikim. Lekein ato bocha v'avreich. This is honestly, that's not found by regular people. Achas dibarti lecha. Al teramnes atzmecho latizbayish. Don't fool yourself and don't be ashamed. Ki ein roya oischa. Ato zulos yashem. Because nobody sees you, nobody knows what you're thinking about, only Hashem. Yeshnam zmanim shatereitz lachriach es atzmecho lachshe b'teira. It's true that there are times that you're trying to force yourself to think about Torah, gam b'shuk, in the street. I mean, the street in those days is not like the street. We can't even compare to the street in our days. But he's saying you're trying, the many of you, of course, that you try to think of Torah when you're walking in the shuk. And when you leave the house, the first step that you take out into the street, you're trying, you know, you have a thought of Torah when you leave the house. But as soon as the snow melts the second it meets the sunlight, so too do your thoughts of Torah melt the second you walk out into the street. And instead of that thought of Torah, there are many, many thoughts that are stam thoughts. Ulufamim, numbers thoughts that are not. Thoughts that are not bad thoughts, stam, about the things that you have to take care of. Ulufamim, gam, stam, bezuyais, mispartseis, amashavtecha. That's obvious, bezuyais. And sometimes also disgraceful, disgusting thoughts burst into your mind. Zakshur bezu bezu bezu, and one connects to another and connects to another. Achas doiches chavita, one pushes away the other one. Achas mischazekes al chavita, one stronger than the other one. Ad sheyesh lafamim shebishtifasan upachzusan daimisen lahamain prama hamishailim bepachzuchem vapachzusan vaakal b'meichacha. Until it resembles, sometimes it seems like there's a hamain, there's a multitude of crazy people, of wild people that are in your brain. And that they're mishoilim, that they're carrying on and fighting inside your brain. All of this is in your mind. He says, this is the truth of what how most people, this is how it is with most people. Even the finest fellows, we're not talking about a tzaddik that has a Hashem in his mind, that has Torah in his mind every single waking moment, he's thinking about Torah. He said, but mostly, even though you intend to think of Torah, but when you're away from it and you're in the street, he said, this is the more accurate picture of reality. The truth is, this subject of machshavas, of thoughts, requires a tremendous amount of hadracha, tremendous amount of explanation and guidance. Because we see from the Zohar Kodesh and the Svarim HaKadoshim that the whole essence of a person depends upon the machshavas, depends upon our thoughts. And because of that, or in proportion to that, the thoughts of a person are the most complicated part of who the person is. Means the whole person, according to the desire, the whole person depends upon the machshavas, and we understand that's why the machshavas are so complicated. The machshavas is where the Yetzirah grows strongest. Hashem should help us, and with davening it will be that Hashem will help us to explain this more further on, how to be a person that is a balabayis, that is in control of one's machshavas. But since I'm just touching upon it, I just want to touch upon something, so that we could be careful, at least to begin with this avaida of shmiras hamachshava, of watching our thoughts. Avaida kashem ma'aydi le'ish, avaida samachshavas. It's a very, very difficult avaida, the avaida of machshavas, of thoughts, of thinking. Liyasha oisan kasha, to straighten out the thoughts, it's very, very difficult. Vaf lahakiran kashalai, and bechlal, it's difficult even to recognize. It's difficult to even recognize one's thoughts, to know what one's, to really know what you're thinking. Habe machshavish shaitfais beish, shalayakir oisan im kaidish lashem heina. There are many, many thoughts that just invade a person's mind. There are many thoughts that are in a person's mind, and it's very hard to know. Are these thoughts kodesh Lashem? Are these the kind of thoughts that I should be having, and that these are healthy, good thoughts? Or perhaps these are the children of the Satan. Maybe they come from the evil one, and these have to be destroyed. The marshal, for instance, Yesh she'ein ha'avrei chayshev nivlus. You have sometimes that a young man is not thinking of something disgusting. She'ein ha'avrei chayshev nivlus. Ava min roos v'nivlus ish garua zolosei chayshev. This is a very common thing for all of us. That the person is not thinking himself about anything horrible, about anything bad or disgusting, but he's thinking about how there's another person that he knows that's mamish disgusting, about how this person does horrible things and does disgusting things, and the thought is focused on kama garua ha'ish hazeh, how horrible is this person, anoshim ke'elu, or these type of people. And how the mice and how the actions of those people are filthy, are terrible. And you're thinking how that person's language, the speech, the way that he talks is horrible, it's disgusting. How he speaks, Hashem Yishmerenu. And in his mind, in other words, what he's doing is that he's thinking not as if these are his thoughts. What the Rebbe's explaining is that a way that a person is able to indulge in disgusting thoughts is by thinking about how somebody else is disgusting. And that's also having a disgusting thought. You think about how something, look at this, how disgusting how this person is, or this place is disgusting, or the way that these people dress, or the way that they act. All of that, how you're thinking that this is horrible, this is disgusting. So, at that time, in the person's mind, he's playing a film of something which is horrible and disgusting. And all of it appears to be the result of or the product of Yiras Shamayim, that since he's a God-fearing person, in his mind he's protesting all of the disgusting things that are out there. He's protesting everything that's out there. But the truth is that there is some sort of taiva, of pleasure, that the person has by indulging in this secondary means of having a shaychus to something disgusting, as opposed to being in a boring place like a field, and thinking about trees, or thinking about birds, or tzaddikim, and yeshivas, and bata midrashim. And the person has a way. There's a way that I'm entitled to think about horrible things, but since this way it's not something which is attached to me, and it's not anything which in any way pollutes me as a person. Adrabba, the person feels that he is that by being critical and thinking critically of these terrible things, that by doing that the person is more of a Yiras Shamayim, that there's more fear of God, and that Yiras Shamayim is something which is coming from a holy place. When he says, but l'maisa b'machshavti oivres kol maisa v'dibur megunim, but the truth is that in his mind there are oivres kol maisa v'dibur megunim. That's why all kinds of disgusting things, that's why I mentioned to you a number of times about how I heard from Elohim that they were against Bachram saying, especially Bachram, but Stam, in our generation, Satan was saying all these long extra lists of vidui, right? That you have booklets, the vidui in the max is not enough. So there are people that they get these booklets that have a more specific vidui, more specific confessions. I remember that when these first started coming out, whatever it was, like 30 years ago, they started coming out with these booklets with pictures of contrite people on the cover, and then more things from the Chidah and from the Shalah, additional viduyim. So there's a friend of mine that said, I was reading that, and I'll tell you, there are quite a few things that I never even thought of. It's really, wow. But afterwards, he said, I was thinking about him. I thought about him afterwards, but at the time, I never even heard of that stuff. Right. Well, the people that will read the newspaper and spend a great deal of time thinking about how horrible that is and how disgusting that is and how could people do that and how could people act that way and so on. But the Rebbe's saying it's very dangerous territory, because lemaisa, when the person is doing that, even though it's with the intention, so he thinks, of criticizing that, and he's looking at it with a critical eye, but lemaisa, the truth is that by thinking even critically of those things, he's inviting them into his mind. So he sees the entire picture, and he says, this is terrible. But if it's so terrible, then he wouldn't be thinking about it either. So this is, in his mind, they pass through his mind all kinds of horrible things. Not only things that he heard himself or saw in the behavior of that person who's not a respectable person, not only that, but he imagines, if this is what I've seen from the person, this is how the person carries on in public, this is how he acts in front of other people, can only imagine how it must be even must be much much worse, the things that he's doing behind closed doors, and he's a much bigger, you know, he's a much bigger Russia than what I see with my own eyes. And the imagination takes a person to think about who knows what kind of horrible things he's up to that I can't see. And he says, and the avrech, meaning this ben Torah, who thinks about that person, krechses, he sighs about how disgusting and how low that person is. And sometimes in his mind he even is punishing that person for his sins. Move on, me'elav, it's understood. It's understood that after the ben Torah thinks about these thoughts for some time, together with all of the Musa, that if he could give this person Musa, and if he could punish the person, this is the Musa he would give, and this is how he would punish that person. And all of this is passing through his mind for a while. With all of the krechtsing that he's done about how terrible it is and how many aveiros this person does and how much rishus there is in the world, Mabit alatzmo kabal maila, he sees himself, this young man sees himself as a bal maila. He feels good about himself, and he sees himself as somebody that's a great person. Sheniyochel lizbo gamra zulosai, that he's so great he can't be soivel. He can't be soivel. Something which is disgusting even by somebody else. He can't be soivelit. He can't tolerate it. It's horrible. U'misaneach alav, and he krechses about it. He worries about it. It upsets him. U'miyasre al kol ponim b'machshavta, and it torments him. It bothers him, at least in his thoughts. V'ilo ha'yoyochel, and if you were able to, gambapoyel ha'yumiyasre, and if you were able to, he not torments himself. It means that he's giving in his thoughts. He's giving musa to that person. He's punishing that person. And if he was able to, if he was able to mamish punish this person and give him musa, he would do it. He would pull out his hair if he could. One of the fellows told me, I don't know if I told this, one of the guys told me that there was, I think I told this to you a couple weeks ago, that there was somebody that, was very, very upset, and he called down, it's a joke, but he said, he called down to the desk, he was in a hotel, and he said that, he was upset, that it was, he said, you know that I'm an Orthodox Jew, and you gave me this disgusting room that's overlooking the swimming pool, and it's impossible for a religious person to be in such a place, it's disgusting, and I want to switch my room, and he was complaining to the desk. So they said, so we'll send somebody up immediately, sir, to see what we can do to help you. So they send a guy comes into the room, and he comes into the room, and he says, there's a window that's all the way up, you have to go like on a ladder in the corner, there's a window that if you go up in a ladder and you go over there, then maybe if you climb a ladder you'll see, you know, down to the pool, but it's like, it's a strange place, the window all the way up in the corner. So the guy says to him, what's going on? He says, you don't see anything over here. He says, yeah, I know, but it's a problem with the ladder getting, you know, you can see them getting ladder over there and climbing. So Yetzer Hara. It's Yetzer Hara. So Niflu means to it spits out. Niflatu. So, you know, the person is sitting in his room, and there's the window is in a funny place, and he's screaming and carrying on and yelling that it's horrible. How could he be in such a room? So, what the Rebbe is saying is that by having one's machshavas, by having one's thoughts on negative things, even in a critical way, it's a very dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing for a regular person. Ukshani la'atzmi ilu pagati ba'avrei kazeh. The Rebbe says that if I would meet this young man, while he's having these angry thoughts about the evildoers of the world, I would whisper into his ear and say, Dalacha, you should know, that what? You should know that all of the thoughts that you're thinking about that other person right now, all of those thoughts that you're thinking about him, shelcha hein, they're your thoughts. Those are your thoughts. You're not thinking about what other people think about. Those are your thoughts. Because what you're thinking about, how that person is doing all those terrible, disgusting things, you should know that they're your machshavas. It's not called machshavas about something, it's called your machshavas. Atahu ha'ish pleni. You are that person that's doing those things. Atahu ha'ish pleni sha'atachayshav lovis kol zeh. You're the very same person. You're the very same person that you're thinking about, the person who's guilty of all of those things. Atahu ha'ish pleni sha'atachayshav lovis kol zeh. You are that person. As kol zeh at the rights of lasais, all that you're angry about and critical about, all of that you would like to do. Ladaber, you wish you could say those things. Al kol panim lachshav machshav is rose kelo, or at least you wish that you were allowed and that you could think about those thoughts without feeling the guilt and shame that comes with them. V'kevin sha'atim is apik mehen, since you hold yourself back. You hold yourself back and you don't do those things and you don't say those things and you try not to think about those things. L'chein, therefore, ta'aveisecha, machshaveisecha, meramaisescha, therefore your own tivus, your own desires and thoughts are deceiving you, are tricking you. U'belavush zeloscha mislabshes, and they become enclosed in somebody else's garments. So it's somebody that's not you. It's not you that thinks those things, that says those things, and does those things. So the only way that you can think about those things and have a little bit of a recourse, a little bit of an opening for your tivus to flood your own thoughts, the only way that you could do that is by thinking about how another person is up to all of this mischief.
So if you see people talking in shul, you get upset about that, it means that people are trying to talk in shul? I'm saying because where's the line where you say this is something to be upset about, or how do you know?
It's a very simple line. It's when you have a tiger for something, you don't have a tiger for something. The guy in the room with the swimming pool has a tiger for that. And when you're talking about something and you know in your own heart whether you have a tiger for that, you don't have a tiger for talking in shul. It just upsets you. There are things in life that a person is upset about because it's wrong. So people mechal Shabbos. You don't have a taiva to mechal Shabbos. You're angry and you're thinking about how there are Jews that are removing other Jews from their homes in Eretz Yisrael. So that means that you would like to be a policeman in Eretz Yisrael. Come mechal Shabbos. It means that you're angry about it. It means it's wrong. You don't have a taiva to send a Jew out of his house. You don't have a taiva to talk in shul. You don't have a taiva to be Michal Shabbos, eat Nevels and Shreifas. But when there's something that you have a taiva about, and you know and you're honest inside of you that you yourself have not cleaned up shop in that area, and you yourself have a strong desire for those things, and you're sitting there thinking, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible, boy, I wish I could do that. Right? So there's a big difference. So the Rebbe says, so what happens is that since you're holding back, so your taivas and your machshavas trick you, and they become enclosed in somebody else. In order to permit yourself to think about these things, otherwise, how you'll have to think about this? Like you should just be thinking about the Gemara you learned, or you should just be thinking about something holy and pure. Why are you thinking about this, Bichlal? Why do you have this on your mind at all? So. You wouldn't be able to have anything like this on your mind if you wouldn't be thinking negatively about somebody else who's involved in this. So the only way that you could legitimize having these kind of thoughts, the only way that you could do that is by enclosing them in somebody else's life. And somehow vicariously through that person experiencing on some tiny level some of the pleasures of some of the forbidden pleasures that person's engaging in that you're so critical of, that you're so negative about, that angers you so much. Habei pikir b'cha. if you gaze deeply into yourself, v'tira, you will see shekoshlecha lifresh mechashev machashavas elu. He says, try. He says, just try to see. And you'll find that it's difficult to stop thinking about those things. That should be the test. No? I mean, if it's not you, and you don't care about this stuff, and you have no time for it, then you should be able to turn your thoughts from it in a second. You should be able to turn away from it immediately. It's not something that has anything to do with you. You're just upset about somebody else that's doing terrible things. So if it was somebody else, it's not you, and your whole point of thinking about it is to feel bad and to give a krechts about how there's wickedness in God's world, so then at will you should be able to turn away from it. So why do you find these thoughts lingering? And why do you find your mind coming back to them repeatedly about other people or other, you know, disgusting things that are going on in the world? So he says, the Teretz is because they're your machshavas. It's not hard to tear yourself away from thoughts about that are not yours, or about other things that are not really, that don't have a shaychus to you. It's very easy. As a matter of fact, you know, nowadays when you're talking to somebody, while you're finishing the sentence, the guy's already not listening to you. In other words, he was only able to concentrate for like six words. After that, you know, he's finished. Because you're telling him something that's outside of him. In other words, you go, you say, listen now, hey, you know what I want to tell you? You know, I went on this tuyul, you know, 2 weeks ago. I said, oh, really, it's so nice. And then like by the end of the sentence, you know, if he would finish and say, repeat what I said, he wouldn't be able to. Because it's totally that guy's machshavas. And you're trying to be pleasant and show, you know, you're trying to feign some interest. Oh, that's so nice. You know, and then he's going on, especially if it's not a sentence, if it's a full composition. Or, you know, a soliloquy about his inyanim in life that have absolutely no bearing upon you. You know, some guy goes, you know, rattling on about his chveis, about his financial situation, or he goes tell you about his children, or his einiklach for half hour, about how this one crawls, this one, you know, this one scratches his ears, and you go, So, you know, if he asked you, if you'd have to take a test on you, we'd all fail the test, you know what I mean? It's his machshavas. I'm trying to be a nice guy, but it's not my machshavas. It's not my machshavas. But when it comes to these things that the Rebbe is talking about, the wickedness and the evil of the world, so you say, it's what that person, what they're doing, what the Welt is doing, what they're doing, what the Goyim, what this, that, whatever that. So over there, if you get tested, you get 100 plus extra credit. You could say every single prat, every single detail about the disgusting thing that you're so upset about, right? And if you don't want to think about it, you can't stop. Mid-thought, you can't just turn off and say, it's not my machshav, these are not my thoughts, this is somebody else is thinking about them. It doesn't concern me. The only reason it would concern me is because by the tzaddikim, the tzaddik wants to eradicate, wants to erase, wants to fix, wants to repair something. But in the case of an average person, not a tzaddik, so those thoughts are thoughts that are enclosed in somebody else, but really become your thoughts, and that's why you can't stop mid thought, midstream. You continue, you go on with the thought, you continue with it, and the reason for that, the Rebbe says, is because it's not somebody else's thoughts; they're your thoughts. If it would be somebody else's thoughts, You'd have no problem on a dime. You could turn away from it, and you wouldn't feel anything. It wouldn't bother you at all. Other rabbits, it would be hard to continue concentrating on something that's not nogeya to you. When something is nogeya to you, when something applies to you, so then you could think about it a lot. If it's something that's nogeya to you, if it's your own financial situation, if it's your own inyanim that you have to take care of, so then you think about them a lot. It's natural that you think about them a lot. If it's your own inyanim. But when it's somebody else's inyanim, it's natural that you don't think about it much.
Does that mean somebody's telling you about their problems and you're not listening? You can't listen. That means you're self-centered because you can't.
That.
Then if somebody comes to you with a problem and they're trying to open up to you and you're having a hard time listening to them, is that a sign that you're not? Since you're not nogeya to it, it seems like you're being self-centered.
That's an avaida to try to open up. Sure. That's a very big avaida. When someone comes to talk to you about something that they're having a difficulty with, to try to open up, to enter into that person's life and to experience that with that person. That's the big tzaddikim. That's how I told you many times that the tzemach tzaddik, after he would meet with two, three people, the shamans would have to bring him completely new clothing, everything. all the undergarments and all the coat and the tunic, everything had to change. The shirt, everything had to be changed. And this was many times during the day that the Tzemach Tzedek had to change his clothing, and they were totally drenched through and through from perspiration, from the intensity of listening to people's inyanim. And he said, you know, it's very hard because when someone comes to talk to me, in order for me to be able to help that person, I have to become him. Right? In order for me to feel what he's feeling, I have to become him. But then in order for me to give him an etzah, then I have to be me. Right? Says, you know how many days I have to change? So I need a new set of clothing for each of these people. That I have to put to him and me and back to him and back to me. So during the course of a day, the Tzemach Tzedek was constantly changing. He was empathizing to such a degree how he entered into a person's life. And that's certainly an avoda to be able to do that. But the natural tendency of a person is to be wrapped up in his own thoughts, to be thinking about him, you know, his inyanim. And you know, this happens. Like there'll be certain people. This happens kaseida. You know, I'm sure this happened to you also. Like there's a kind of a person that it could be. You know, it could be a Yom Kippur. And the whole, you know, and everybody's trying to, everybody needs to go home and to be with their family or something like that. And somebody comes and say, you know, I'd like, could I talk to you about something? You know, can I talk to you about something? You know, about something, like with me, like let's say Matzah Tishba, this has happened, not Yom Kippur, because let's say Tishba, so you have, let's say, a guy that's like, you know, a 18-year-old guy, he's a healthy guy. So he'll say, you know, he wanted to ask me something about a drusha, something I said during the day in a drusha. And you know, you're thinking, don't you think that maybe, you know, that people want to go home and their families are waiting for Havdalah and stuff like that, right? But then if you call that guy up, let's say, and you have to talk about some Indian, and he says, Rabbi, I can't talk right now because, you know, I have to go somewhere. There are people who can say that, well, when it comes to their Indian that they're wrapped up in, they won't see how anybody else in the world has anything else on their mind except their Indian. But if it's somebody else that has an Indian, then they don't have a minute for it. Then I'm busy. I can't right now, you know, maybe later on. And we have to look at ourselves all the time and to ask ourselves, are we in this parasha? You know, when a person is totally insensitive to somebody else that's doing something or that has a certain Indian, to try to think about what this person is going through right now, or is this the right time to, is this, and how people can say that they get wrapped up in themselves and they don't even think ki who's there about what that person's Indian is right now. And then, but then if it's something that somebody else talks to them, then they don't have a minute. So that's an avoda of our entire lives, that we're all nichshel in this all the time. We're nichshel in this all the time. That we become you know, we become lost in our own inyanim, and we will be completely insensitive to somebody else's inyan, what they might need at that time, or what's going on in their life at that time. So one of the hardest avoidance of a person is to try to think of what the other person is thinking. You know, to think of what is that other person's need at this time. What's that person thinking? And how can I be sensitive to what that person is thinking about and what that person is feeling? That's what the Tzemach Tzedek, in order for him to be miyayitz a person, in order for him to really help, you can't be outside of this and just hear this person talking to you and sharing with you his problem like it's not nogeya to you. It's something which has to be nogeya to you. But you see, but that's where the tzaddik is able to draw the line. So then you wonder, so how's the tzaddik then able to has he able to free himself of all of these thoughts? So then what happened when the Tzemach Tzedek went to play with his grandchildren? You know? So he's sitting there the whole day, like, he's drenched from perspiration, from entering into the lives of, you know, 200 people and then he's supposed to go home and play with his grandchildren. Which is not vital that a tzaddik can do, which is beyond their understanding. That he's able to go and to enter into that little grandson and to make him happy and to play with him. That a person's able to enter into another life and to change from this to this to this to that, that's something which is not vital of one's entire life. A person comes home from work. He comes home from work and he had a bad day at work. So invariably, you know, his wife and kids are gonna know about it. He's not gonna tell them what happened at work, that some guy, you know, ripped me off or something, or my boss, my boss doesn't like me or something. But he's just, you know, like they just say, "How are you, Dad?" He says, "Why are you? What are you making trouble for? Do your homework," you know. So everybody knows, like, then the wife and the kids look at each other, you know, it's one of those days, just, you know, stay away. Stay away from his Dalai Lama's, you know, he's dangerous today. So, you know, we bring this stuff with us. Wherever we go, we take these things with us. Our machshavas. For a person to be able to come home after a horrible day at work, and to be able to enter into the life of his family, and to be and to enjoy, and to be able to talk the way that he's, that's an avodah, that's the hardest avodah, that's a very big avodah. But the Rebbe is explaining here that when it comes to the thoughts that we have that are negative thoughts about other people, and negative thoughts about how other people are indulging in things that are not right, so we have to be careful. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Are you really angry and protesting inside your mind and wishing that this is something that would stop as soon as possible, that would no longer exist, or is it something that you are just allowing yourself to enter into that person's thoughts and to enter into that person's life in order to benefit, in order to indulge in some forbidden thoughts or some forbidden feelings that are generally off limits to you as a God-fearing person? So it's a very hard thing to know. You know, if you take people like that like us that grew up in our way, that we grew up, most of us, in New York or these kind of places, and you plop any of us into a back alley of Mea Sharm to live, to one of those little back alleys. Well, the nice house, okay, not one of the little, you know, those little holes, but, you know, a Woodmere house, a nice Woodmere, Cedarhurst Lawrence home in Mea Sharm. You go nuts after a week. It's nice to visit. You go crazy after a week. I'm talking about a very, very religious person. So what could you say? Why would you go crazy? So you could say, everybody's different from me. No, everybody's Jewish. They're much more different from you at work on Fifth Avenue. There, they're only like 10% Jews. The rest are goyim. And you're constantly disgusted with what the goyim are talking about and thinking about, right? On Fifth Avenue, you're disgusted about it. And even the Jews that are there, they're not so religious, and they're up to all kinds of hacky-packy, really upsets you. So you say, you know, you're right. We want you to be relieved of this. We got you a house in Mea Sharm, Namish in the back of Mea Sharm, and not only that, but you're not allowed out the rest of your life in Mea Sharm. So you should be saying, well, this is Givaldic. Oh, and there's some Americans there too, okay, because you have a Tainai cat, I don't know, I don't know the language. All right, we'll give you some Americans. You have a couple Americans. No newspapers. You can't get your regular newspapers over there, the American newspapers. Let's say no television, no radio, no CBS, no INS, nothing. Garnished. Just Jews. You're just with Jews all the time, which is what you've always complained about that you wanted to be. Because you're so disgusted at work and you can't stand it. These people are up to all kinds of disgusting things. Look what they talk about. How much longer am I going to have to live in this miserable, disgusting place until finally I'll be able to go on Aliyah and be able to have a beautiful life. And it's all bubamizes. It's all bubamizes. If you have to live in some little darfel someplace in a shtetl where you're surrounded by tzaddikim, you got out of your mind. And we're just talking straight. It sounds like it's really gewaldig. What you got out of your mind?
Why
do you think it is? Why is that? Because there's a tiger for the things. In other words, you're angry at work, and this makes you sick. So they say, you know, you're relieved that you're never, ever, ever going to see another woman except your wife the rest of your life. You're relieved of all of that misery of being in this disgusting place where the girls walking around without their clothing, and the horrible signs that are up in Manhattan. No more. You're in Mea Sharm in a back alley. Anytime there's a woman, she's got black stockings, she's got a scarf over her nose, and the second she sees a guy, she hides behind the wall, right? So now you're happy, right? That's gewaldic. So your whole life you want it because you're always complaining how in Manhattan it's horrible. You can't even walk on the train. Look what you can't even walk on a train. Look how these animals, these chayas, look how they dress. And then you get to work, and then there's a chay, and she's the vice president of the firm, a chay. And the chay is everywhere, behemoths and chayas. It makes you sick. If only I could get away from this. So you say, your wish has come true. And we put you into Meir Sharm. You're never going to leave Meir Sharm the rest of your life. Just you go to the Kaisel, and even in the old city, all of the girls have been cleared out from the old city. No girls, no galleries, no girls. The old city, like it was in the time of Beis HaMikdash, nothing. Only the Kahanim walking in the streets, and the Sheshivas and Rebbes, everything that you always dreamt of, that you have paintings of in your house, right? No more Meidlach garnish, nothing bad, nothing. No radio, no television. We wouldn't last, some would last 5 days a week. And how are you going to explain then that you move back to the place that you hate so much? So that's what the Rebbe is saying. It's a question of being honest with ourselves. And realizing that there's a very thin line that separates between hating something and really liking something, but being unable to admit it to ourselves that we like that. So we have other ways of getting around the prohibitions and so on. Thank God, we're not talking about someone that's doing anything chas v'shalom. It's not doing anything bad. It's not lemaisa. It's not. But as far, the Rebbe's talking about machshavas, about thoughts, machshavas. It's not just a question of boredom. It's not a question of being bored. Isn't that true? Okay, that's one thing when a person needs to get out a little bit and to go get some exercise, and all he's interested in is, you know, going to two or three of the guys and going out on a tiyul or something. But the need to go back, let's say, to the States. The need to go back to the States.
But people live there don't seem to need
that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. People who were raised the way that we were raised. And I'm not saying something that's not understandable. I'm not saying it by way of criticism. I'm just trying to understand the phenomena, why this is. The territory is that we're very, very attached to these things. We're very attached to these things. We don't want to do anything bad. We're trying to be good. But if everything is bad, would be removed, we wouldn't know what to do. We'd be stuck, right? Something to, you know, to go move to some log cabin someplace in the wilderness. You finally, you know, you've had it, and you've had it with society and so on. But we wouldn't. I'm not talking, you're able to, and there are nice slopes that you can go skiing, you can get exercise, and there's a nice lake, you can go swimming, and you have your family, and you have all your loved ones in this little kirya, right? There are like 7 or 8 homes around the lake, and you have winter sports, summer sports, right? There's plenty of things to relax and to exercise and so on. No television, no radio, no magazines, no newspapers, no meidlach, nothing.
No internet.
Not that I forgot, because you have a little machine over there. No internet, nothing. No machines, nothing. So that would be like, for the Yerushalmi Jew, that's a dream come true. Because the real Yerushalmi is going crazy about what's going on in Yerushalayim. Which to us is like, you know, if you're in that back alley in Sing Sing, you know, in Meshim, you feel like you're in Sing Sing, right? But for the Yerushalmi, he's already upset. I can't believe what's going on here. Meir Sharm is not the way that it used to be. It's not there's Americans hanging around over here and going into the stores. We can't go into the Swarm store without some seminary girl standing here looking at the Meir Shiloh or something. And if you talk to Yerushalmis, they're all upset about what's going on over there. The old Yerushalmis, you can't even walk. They say you can't walk on the streets in Yerushalayim anymore. And when we are in Yerushalayim, we feel like we're choking, you know. I got to get back to Midtown, New York. I can't take this. Get back to work so I could be angry about all the preachers and smiths over there. And complain about how I got to get there to Israel because this is killing me, this smiths over here. It's killing me. You know? That's what the Rebbe's talking about. The point is not to run away from, to understand where we're holding, and to try to work on ourselves to become greater people. But that's what he's saying. Habet bekirbacha v'tira. If you look inside of yourself, in the second paragraph on Samach Aleph, you'll see that it's koshel chalifresh mechashev machshav aseilu, that it's hard to tear yourself away from these thoughts or this kind of a life. It's hard to take yourself away. And even the biggest B'nai Torah, American B'nai Torah, it's very hard for them when they're in Eretz Yisrael for a while. Just look at the kind of breaks that everybody's taking nowadays. Everybody's talking about how first they're fighting with their parents for months about how they have to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then when they get to Eretz Yisrael, they're thinking about how they're going to get back home.
3 times during the year.
Yeah.
At least.
And the thing is, all there is that I can't live in America. Daddy, you understand? This is terrible. I got to get away. Why can't you learn in yeshiva in New York? They're beautiful yeshivas all around here. You have Shayosha, Yeshiva Rockaway. You have here on West Brooklyn. I have the parents always saying, "You have beautiful yeshiva," and they're right. These are beautiful yeshivas. What do you have to go to? You want to go to the Mir? There's a Mir in Flatbush. What do you have to go running to there? It's just, because I got to get away from this killing me. And it's true. You mean it, and you want to get away, and it's a good rotzen because you know it's true. But then when you get there, it's very hard not to want to come back after a while. When all you see, like, you know, Rosh Yeshiva and other bochum that are learning, and old shtenders that are falling apart, and you're sitting, like, you know, and you're going to the shtiblach to daven marv, and everybody you look at is male and very religious. And then you know, and it's not that the person doesn't want to be a tzaddik. He wants to be a tzaddik, but that's what I'm saying. Just we have to be honest, though. We weren't raised in such an environment, and it's very, very, very hard. Even though we claim that that's all we want is just to be surrounded by Erlich Yidden and Svarim. That's all we want. It's just Erlich Yidden. Give me just the rest of my life. I should be surrounded by God-fearing Jews and Svarim, and that would be like Mashiach, no? It's going to be very hard for us to get used to Mashiach. Everybody says, you know, Mashiach, it's going to be very hard. Because it should be Kedusha B'Tahara, and that we should, for us to be cleansed and to be purged of all of that, you know, Midtown Manhattan craziness, to be purged of all of that, it's going to be very, very hard to be cleaned of that. That be'emes, be'emes, all we want every single moment is just Torah and just Yerushalayim and not to have a need for anything else. It's very hard. It's not void. Alright, we'll have him, Yitzhak Hashem. Mashiach will be here and we'll have, and the truth will be open to us, and it'll be like a big explosion, and we'll be able to work at it and so on. It'll be easier for us, but still it's not vital. We have to work on. David, you wanted to say something before?
I guess I was thinking of Moshe's idea of the talking, and I think maybe a tzaddik probably wouldn't be obsessed with it as much as some of us are, and maybe it is our thoughts, and we do have to be careful. I thought maybe it was a valid point.
Certainly. I didn't say it's not valid. I said, he asked, well, how do we draw the line? I said, if you have a taiva for it or not. So if you have a taiva for talking in shul, and you find that you're obsessing over other people talking, so then that's what the Rebbe's talking about. But I was just responding, an example, Moshe doesn't have a taiva to talk in shul, and I'm not saying that you do, I'm just saying as an example. When a person has to know themselves, whether he has the person doesn't have a taiva. You have a taiva to Michal Shabbos, you have a taiva to talk on the phone Shabbos, Doug.
That's a good question.
All right, let me think. I'm trying to think of something.
No.
You have a time to go to church?
No.
Okay. I just
want to be critical because I don't want to fool
myself. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
I don't want to fool myself.
No. I'm going to tell you something, David. You don't have a time to talk on the phone and chat. It's not you. You don't have such a time to talk on the phone. It's ridiculous. But. Okay, but if it would be something like, let's say, there's some Jew that he's going off to another religion, God forbid, right? And you're obsessing about that you're absolutely beside yourself, that this Jew is going off to, that doesn't mean that you want to, that you have a cheshik to go to that religion. So that's the only thing I was saying to Moshe, is that in the examples that he gave. So a person doesn't have if it bothers you that you know, you're kosher, you're 100%, you're careful, kosher, it bothers you that this guy is, that this guy is eating treif. So then if you're still somebody that, like you'll have, let's say, guys about tshuva. So he was eating himself in that restaurant last year. And now he's all angry that he has this friend that was with him, you know, on the Israel tour. And the guy is still going to that restaurant. So maybe then he inside of him, he wishes he was still in that restaurant in some way, which is understandable. But if a person's eating kosher his whole life and then makes, and he's upset that there's a guy that he knows, there's a frum guy, and he heard that he's eating something that's not kosher. So you can say that he has a taiva to have that pizza, he has a taiva to have that tafis. No, it upsets him because he's upset that there's a friend of his that's eating something, or a relative that's not kosher. So that's how you know if it's something you have a taiva. When it comes to gilai raiyos, when it comes to things that have to do with men and women, it's always, unless a person is a big mamish, it's tzaddik yisad olam, that's always an inyan that we have to be careful that everybody has taivas for that. But it comes to other things, like, for example, just I gave the example of talking in shul. So if a person is obsessing about, obsessing is not a good thing to obsess. But if a person is upset and he's crusading against certain things, it's because they're wrong, and it bothers him that the covet of the shul is being hurt by these individuals, and so she starts to think, I wish that I could talk in shul. He doesn't have to wish that, because he can go daven someplace, he can go to a shul where it's okay to, you know, for the people there, that no one's going to criticize him for talking. If he likes to talk, he can go talk. So if a person is critical, it's not good to be overly critical, of course, and to be careful. There are other reasons why not to be critical and not to obsess with things. But if it is in his mind, it upsets him that there's talking going on. So it upsets him because he's worried about the covet of the shul, and it bothers him that the shul is being mistreated, and so on. So that's just an example, but that's how a person has to try to realize what's right and wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
If a person, I guess it's just a little bit honest with themselves, on the statistically speaking, you're still better off in the Asharim, even if you have the types, if you have the Machshavas, as long as you can stick it out there.
Sure.
So
100%.
So you know what? So you get a person, you take the person, you transplant them from the Schmutz here, and you put them into this cell over there, and you're still better off.
I think we all agree, that's not a question. That's why it's certainly better for that bacha that his parents should let him go. And it's certainly better that we should try to, of course, it's the shah that a person should be able to be in a better place. And it's a madrega, you know, it's a madrega to force yourself to try to be in a good place with good people in the right place. It's a madrega, even though it's hard and you feel that you're stifled and you're imprisoned and so on. But over time, you'll become used to being in a place that's holy, and it'll become over time will become part of who you are, and that you'll get used to it. I remember when I was thinking, it was such a interesting thing. You know Yoni and Sara Melman. So they're Baruch Hashem. They live in Meir Sharm. You know, they live in Meir Sharm. So when Yoni and Sarah were leaving, when they were talking about going in Aliyah, some of you know I'm talking about Yoni. Said, "Mom is the sweetest Jews in the world." So when Yoni and Sarah were going, so we're having this whole discussion of where to live. So I was very, very worried about them going to Meir Sharm. And I thought maybe they should go with some of the other chevra, like to Ramat Beit Shemesh, you know, to go with some of the other chevra there, or to another place. But it's like to go to Meir Sharm is the intensity there, and you know, I was very, very, very worried about what would happen, and whether they'd be able to. And I was totally wrong. Baruch Hashem, they're doing great. They're fine. So I realized that it's just because I couldn't take it. that's all. Like how can you take that? So Yoni's fine. This, you know, goes to the mikveh 40 times a day. And he sits there in yeshiva and he dives and he's good. He's doing great. Baruch Hashem. So they're doing great. If it was me, because I'm thinking, hey, wow, you know, how are you going to do that? And the American, and you got to get a little bit to, you know, and I'm talking like all this, you know, sagely advice, when it was just my own inyanim, my own chesroinus that I was imagining in them. But they're Baruch Hashem, they're pure and innocent, and they love it there. they're so happy that the children are out of everything here, and that all they see is, all the kids are seeing is Kiddush and Tahara. It's not a Shiloh. How do we disconnect the internet? Like, what's going to be? And what's the next technology to trick the kid to think that that's not really the computer that he's seeing? And, you know, all the different things they're trying to come up with. He doesn't have these in Yonim over there. And they don't have this. The children are just all day long. You know? Tehillim contests. You know, who could scream louder? The latest technology is if you, is screaming louder than the next kid. That means you're more advanced than he is. That's the latest technology. Your kid's Tehillim is louder than the other kid's Tehillim. That means that he's got the latest technology. The louder, you know, the stronger throat. That's the latest technology in Meher Sharma over there. Not to say that they don't have to deal over there with the Nyanim too. It's not the way it used to be, sadly. But still, Af al-Pichin. And I had one of my daughter, you know, we go during the summer. I always stop off in the summer to Monroe, and I go to Davin by the Sutton Road to see, and I take the kids for pizza in the pizza shop over there in Monroe. And the girls are always, you know, so I had especially, one of them was always saying, well, Daddy, why can't we live in a place like this? Because you see, it's like, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. Do you ever go to Monroe? It's like, you know, there's just thousands of Jewish children, and they own the whole place, and just shuls and yeshivas, and it's just this beautiful, everything's, you know. And I say, you know, you're right, and that we, you know, and that we will live like that, you know, one day. But she doesn't understand. Like, why can't we just sell a house and why can't we sell a house in Woodmere and move here? And then we don't have to have, you know, all those things that are always upsetting you, Daddy, you know, in the world, that are always out there in the world. And like, Daddy will be happy because there's only going to be other Jews that look like him. And it's going to be great. So I myself think that I would like to do that, but I can't be, you know, 100% sure how, you know, how long I would last. I think that it sounds great, and then all I do is then I just blame my wife. How come she doesn't want to live there? That's what we always do, right? Then you just blame your wife. That's why they exist. So I would live there. That's exactly how I would like to live. What am I going to do there? You know, there's no shopping for an hour and a half. You're not going to be happy. You have to be able to go to a store. This and that. And you're out in the middle of nowhere. So it's an avoid. It's an avoid of an entire life. But it's a,
you have to be careful if you put yourself in a new environment that's really good. Maybe not really full sense of security. You can move somewhere and think it's better than it might not.
Yeah, that's for sure better. It's for sure better then. It's for sure better. There's no shaila that is better. How could it not be better? Psychologically and emotionally, you might have a problem. But it can't be that it's not better. How could it be that it's not better? That you're surrounded with Yidden.
I'm not saying
Misha. I'm just saying New Square, Monroe, we're the only Yidden. We're the only Jews. I understand. I'm saying this is a beautiful religious community. All different, but I'm talking about where you have it like an enclosed community, whether it's here or whether it's a moshav in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying it's davka chassidish. It could be a hesder yidden that are living in a moshav in Eretz Yisrael. But it's only shmiras hamitzvos, it's only davening and only learning. It's got to be better. It's got to be better than living, you know, in an open type of. Of course, there are problems, there are issues, there are inyanim, there's in every place, there's machlaikis, just like the Meir Sharim, and there's also in Monroe, and wherever you go, and Kiryat Sefer, whatever it is, there are always going to be inyanim. But as far as the wholesomeness of what you see on the street, how could you say, how could it not be better? Of the environment, how could it not be better in Monroe, or in Meir Sharim, or in some yeshub someplace, where everything is just Torah mitzvahs? It's got to be better. It's got
to
be better.
But Hashem did want us to get out. He didn't want us only to stay to ourselves. So part of the plan is to get out.
The plan, you're right. The part of the plan is to get out. But that plan, I believe, means when a person has to force himself, and a person has to reach out to the world, but then he's able to retreat into his place, into his place of his Beis Hamikdash, and every step that he takes out is with pain that he has to. Okay, but what I'm saying is, what we're talking about is that you know, he's more comfortable sometimes being in the other place than being in a place of Kedusha. So I agree with you 100% that it doesn't mean that this community is better than that community. I'm not talking about community kind of stuff. I'm just talking about what the eyes see and what the ears, just what we're surrounded with. It has to be better for us to be in a place like Meir Sharma, to be in a place like Monroe, than to be in the city. It's got to be better. You know, in that respect, there are other problems. Of course there are problems. And it might not be for us. We're not holding. That's exactly what I'm saying. But just with the eyes and the ears, if what we're saying is what we really, really want, then you know, we can do that and we should do it. But we have in Yonah that don't allow us to do it. And part of it is exactly what the Rebbe's talking about. All right, Mitzvah, after Yontif, Mitzvah.